Let's move on. Next up, we have Bright Disaster with a monologue from Killing Chuck.
I just freaking killed Chuck. I think. I mean, he's just laying out there. He's not moving. I don't think he's breathing. I mean, there I was, just up on the roof with Marissa, talking, laughing, having a great time. I tell her she reminds me of Sandra Bullock. I tell her I loved Hope Floats. Who knew those would be the magic words? Next thing I know, her clothes are off and we're loosening roof shingles like there's no tomorrow. And then there's biting and kissing and touching, and suddenly someone starts beating on me. I mean, just pounding on me and growling. Yeah, growling. And I look up and there's Chuck, and I'm like, what's the problem? And he says, the problem is, dude, you're screwing my girlfriend. So I look at Marissa, and I'm like, you're someone's girlfriend? And she says, no. Then it comes out Chuck just wishes she was his girlfriend, but actually she's his cousin or something. So he got those feelings of guilt about wanting her, and then he starts crying. So that ruined the mood. Marissa puts her clothes on, and she goes back down to the window, back into the party, and I'm left with Chuck. Blubbering, whining, crying Chuck. Then he starts in about how he's this total screw-up, and maybe he should just throw himself off the roof. And for a split second, I'm thinking, yes! Throw yourself off the roof! Do it! But I don't say that. I say, you're gonna get a girl, buddy, just maybe not your cousin, huh? And then I give him a friendly pat on the back. A nice, manly slap on the back. And he looked heavy. I mean, who knew he'd go flying? Who knew he'd go flying right off the roof?
And okay. Right, Disaster. You've got some good energy here. Some good variation, but you need to slow down. You're losing words. And it's costing you some of the impact of the monologue. At one point, you're quoting Chuck, and you use a very mocking tone. Given that you've just killed him, that's probably not really a good choice. You start out with some great panic, but very quickly you lose that and become matter-of-fact. And again, because the subject of this, matter-of-fact is probably not what you want. What do you think, Meredy?
I agree. It could have been an opposite interpretation, which was originally what I was first thinking. Maybe he's used to death, or maybe this is more of he's saying it in that sarcastic way because he's coping with the panic that's starting to build up. But as I started to expect that, it just never came at the end. I didn't hear anything break. I didn't hear him really react at all to the fact that Chuck is dead at the end. So I agree. There's a nice buildup of emotion during the middle explanation, but it suddenly stopped short, and I just kind of felt a little let down. I agree. Clear up the speaking. There was a nice variety of your vocal delivery. You had you weren't just monotone. You were a nice. You had different levels, different expressions. I just think you need to look more into how the character might react near the end and why they're saying the things that they're saying.
Okay.
I agree.
Yeah. Okay. Good job. Next up, we have Miss Voice of an Angel with a monologue from Cinema Limbo.
I'm the kind of girl who takes pity on poor pathetic geeks who have never kissed a girl. Let's just say that I like someone who is easily trainable. Someone who will truly appreciate me. It's sad, I know. But hey, I'll take an ego boost wherever I can get it. Unfortunately, these adorably nerdy boyfriends get boring after a while. I mean, I can only listen to their computer games and mathematic equations for so long. Of course, Stuart's different in a lot of ways. He's terrible at math, for one. And he's pretty clueless about technology. But He's a comic book sort of geek. And a hopeless romantic. He's preoccupied with holding my hand. Everywhere we go, he wants to hold hands. Even when we're driving. And he's got this new pastime. He keeps saying, "I love you." It was so sweet and wonderful the first time he said it. I almost cried, and I'm not the kind of girl who cries easily. But by the end of the week, he must have said I love you about 500 times. And then he starts adding pet names. "I love you, honey bunch. I love you, sweetheart. I love you, my little smoochy woochy coochie coo." Ugh! I don't even know what the last one means! It's like he's speaking in some brand new love-infected language. Who would have thought romance could be so boring?
Go.
Okay. Miss Voice of an Angel. Interesting choice of monologue. Relatable. You had a decent pacing, although sometimes I think you waited a little too long to go to your next section, but that could be a character choice. I do not know. In the future, you might want to shorten the dramatic pauses just a little bit. I felt like you had two different performances within this piece, and I liked... I don't know how or why it happened, the switch between the two. But the second one was dramatically better than the first. It happens around the time where you say, where you're listing all the different pet names that whoever the current boyfriend is that you're describing, the coochie woochie woochie thing. All of a sudden, once you get to that line, you suddenly burst out with this energy of, you know, "What does that even mean?" And all of this stuff that sounds very natural. And it, you know, it really lit up your performance. But everything before that, it sounded fine, but it lacked that emotional highlight that you had in the last few seconds of your piece. So there are times where you used, I think you said something like, "He's a hopeless romantic." I can't tell if he were trying to be, happy with it or disgusted by it, or maybe something in the middle. So I think just more emotional clarity is what's needed for the majority of the piece to match up with the end. What do you think, Ross?
I don't have an awful lot more to add to that. I thought on the whole, it was very well done. I didn't see it so much as different performances as much as building. At least that's what it sounded like to me, is that she was starting out sort of matter-of-fact and then telling us about this boyfriend. And the more she told us about it, and more, it started getting a little more annoying to her until she finally couldn't stand it and burst out in anger. So that worked for me.
Okay. I couldn't hear that building in the middle, which is why I thought they were felt like they were two separate things.
Mm-hmm.
But I could be wrong.
I don't know. Or I could be, or cool. We could both be right.
Yeah. But I thought it was a good monologue, and it was a good performance overall. It did sound very natural.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Anything else from you, Russ?
That's all I have.
Okay. Cool.
Okay, next up we have Blackjack AV with a monologue from Fame and Features.
So 3 weeks ago, I had some auditions for some agents, and all on the same day, too. So I go to the first agent, and she reads my copy. Long story short, she loves it. Only thing was, she wants me to get my hair cut, and dyed, too. So she gives me the salon card and says, "Well, come back to us when Pierre fixes you up, and then we'll talk." So I thought to myself, you know, it's kind of shallow, but hey, you know, I'm willing to change my looks if that's what I gotta do, you know? So then, later on that day, I go to the second agent, who tells me, well, look kid, you're very talented, but we have got to do something about your teeth. I mean, that space. And actually, it's kind of hurt. I mean, are you kidding me? I mean, look how small this space is. I mean, seriously, look, you can barely even see it. So by this point, I'm getting really PO'd. I mean, so I go to the third agent with hopes that he won't be so superficial, and who would have guessed it? This clown wants me to get a nose job. A nose job! And there is nothing wrong with my nose. I mean, is he serious? It's a freaking nose! So check this out. Today, just for kicks, I asked Gary, you know, good-looking Gary, to go back to those agents with my resume and pretend he's the newbie. And guess what? If he didn't get signed by all three of them, and in my name, too, they didn't even realize it wasn't even me. I mean, seriously, this sickens me. So I guess, as of today, I'm just going to become a plumber.
Blackjack, you've got some really nice energy and good building in this. I think there's more you could do with it than you did. For example, as you're telling us the compliments followed by the superficial comments from the agents, it would probably be have more impact if you sounded a little bit happier on the compliments and then more frustrated on the corrections that they wanted. But by the time you get to the nose job bit, you've got some really, really great energy. I think overall you might want to slow down a little bit. Another thing that might have been interesting to try was when you start with the Gary bit, if you could almost treat that as though you're thinking of it as okay, here's the second thing, build us up. This is almost a joke. And there's some places you could almost seem a bit amused and frustrated both. I noticed one technical bit when you said barely even see it. You could tell you were touching your teeth at that point. It just gave a little more realism to it. Marty?
I agree. Overall, I think it was a nice delivery and a good solid build of emotion, though your comments on improving that definitely make it shine. I thought it was very natural sounding. Do watch your enunciation. There's sometimes, I think it might have been because of the speed, that I just lost a few of the words or a few of the enunciation of them. I can't even talk.
See, we understand how difficult enunciation is.
But just slowing it down a little bit would, I think, just fix that right up. It would also would help it, you know, stretch your time so you don't have to feel so worried about meeting that time deadline. Because I noticed it was almost exactly 90 seconds, your audition, which is cool. It's just a note. My only question is, are there really so many so's in that script? Because they were starting to drive me crazy. You know, you keep saying so this and so that and so this. I didn't know if that was it was actually in the script or not. But anyway, on the whole, it was good.
Yes, good job.
Yes, very good job. Okay, next person?
Next we have MarioFan251 with a monologue from That Was Then, This Is Now.
MarioFan251, Seth monologue from That Was Then and This Is Now. This one time, I told my dad about how David and I were walking through the hallway, and one of the jocks came up behind us and yelled, "Fag!" And my dad asked me if David was, and I was just like, "Yeah, David's gay." And my dad asked me why I would be hanging out with someone who's gay. And I didn't say anything. And he said, "Seth, you're not gay, are you?" And for a minute, I wanted to tell him, you know, everything. But then he looked at me, and he was actually serious, and I thought he was going to cry or something. And he said, "Seth, please tell me you're not gay." And I just looked at him and said, "No, Dad, I'm not gay." And he breathed this big sigh of relief. And I tried to just think about how in another 2 years, I'll be able to leave home and support myself. And I'll tell him, and he'll just have to deal with it. But until then, I have to keep lying so they don't throw me out of the house.
Go.
Okay. MarioFan251. I bet you're using a headset mic. Love you, but unfortunately, the microphone that you're using created a lot of puffs and air sounds as you were talking, which made it a little distracting. It's just a thought for next time. On the whole, I thought it was an interesting monologue. I did like it, but you could have done so much more with it. I expected, I don't want to say this. Your delivery was very low key and monotone, yet reflective. And while I think it works, I think we need a different example to better judge your abilities. Because this did kind of sound natural to me in that, you know, if somebody was talking to me very, you know, privately, especially given the subject matter about, you know, being gay or whatever, I can see someone talking like that very low, very quiet, very person to person. And I can understand that interpretation. But here, I just want to hear more than that. I want to hear a lot. I want to hear different levels. I want to hear bigger and more explanation and more exaggeration, more reaction to what it is you're saying. Unfortunately, this did not meet the time requirements. And Russ, correct me if I'm wrong. I mean, if it's off like a few seconds, like one or two, we're not going to, you know, raise a huge fuss about it. Right. But
this wasn't even close.
No, you had a 10 second introduction tacked onto the front, and it still didn't make a minute 30.
Now, the actual monologue only ran about 1 minute and 14 seconds.
Yeah. So I would, in this case, suggest that you find a different monologue, a longer monologue, and resubmit.
And if you're not using a headset mic, then you've got your mic input up way too much.
Mm-hmm.
Meredith, you covered everything I had to say. It was flat. And while it could work for this one, it doesn't work for an audition for this show.
Correct.
All right, let's move on. To Ronos. I have no idea what this monologue is from. I searched and I couldn't find this dialogue anywhere.
Hey there. My name is Derek. If you're reading this, then you found my journal somehow. Right now, this very moment, I am panicking like crazy. Why am I panicking? There's a good reason for that, you know? It all begins with one simple question. Where the heck am I? After taking stock of my surroundings, I took a look at the things in my pack. I got my first big surprise when I realized there was a huge axe in there. Aside from the axe, there was also a pickaxe and two books, one of which is the journal I'm writing in now. The other book seems to be a how-to book on making things out of wood. Seems like kind of a weird group of things to be carrying, but for the life of me, I can't recall why I'm in the middle of nowhere with a bunch of tools I don't know how to use. Well, I am surrounded by wood now, aren't I? Might as well try it out. Maybe I can make something useful. At least this axe is a lot lighter than I expected. I don't think that's the way wood works. First, use a couple pieces of lumber to make a workbench. This will provide you with a flat surface on which you can create more items. This is a lot easier than I expected. But what's the point of all this?
So Ronos, I'm not sure exactly how to pronounce this. It's a very interesting story. It sounds like there's a lot of potential in it. But I couldn't tell how you felt about it. For example, you start out, you're lost. It would be nice to be able to tell from the way you're speaking how you feel about that. Is this an adventure? It sounds like, oh, well, you know, it's like, oh, look, there's a red car passing. And, oh, look, a leaf just fell. It all sounds about as exciting as I'm lost and there's some tools. And, oh, look, there's wood. You say, that's not the way wood works. I have no idea what is not the way wood works. That's probably just a real problem in the monologue because it seems to assume that we can see something, which we can't. I assume you're reading from some instruction book, but I don't know what you're doing with it. And then your last line, what is the point of all this, sums it up for me. This monologue doesn't actually go anywhere. There's no real energy. I want to be able to care about your character, but you don't give me anything to care about. Merity?
That's about right. What the impression I got from this monologue, what it sounded like to me, since we don't know what it's from, was kind of like a journal out of a video game. And it kind of sounded like maybe the first part where he said, oh, you know, this is hard, was the point where the person playing the game tries to make something out of the wood and doesn't do it right. And then when they find instructions for making a workbench or whatever, and they go and they click and they try to do it again, and it's suddenly easier. And that's the response from the character. But that's not a kind of monologue we're looking for. I think there's a weakness in picking monologues that are from journal entries just in general, because depending on what it is you're picking, it's like Russ said, it comes out very monotone and it loses all the emotion that there could possibly be in there. Especially if he's saying something like, I have no idea where I am and who I am and where everything is. Where am I? Like, I would be pretty freaking panicking at that point. But yeah, I'd like to hear, you have a nice voice. I just like to hear more emotional range and expression, and I think just a different monologue. Go ahead.
Yeah, I believe also you didn't quite make the 90 seconds on this.
It was the same length as Mario fans, and you had long pauses in the middle where you're going between the wood chopping and then the wood chopping or whatever. I would redo this one.
Yes,
and
please.
Then resubmit.
Mm-hmm. Oh, no, actually, redo not this one. A longer monologue,
right.
Please.